We've been on an incredible journey here in the Chandler Church. We've been on a journey of learning leadership as Jesus Christ taught it. We've been studying the blind guide parabolic paradigm of Jesus Christ. And we've been discerning that Jesus himself taught leadership, and he taught it in Luke chapter 6, verse 39. As we begin our message today, I invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 6, verse 39. And in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, we discover that this is the essence of our study and the essence of Christ's teaching on leadership. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, and as we see in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, these are not just leadership lessons, but as we've discovered over the course of the past several weeks, these are life lessons as well. Luke chapter 6, verse 39, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And in Luke 6, verse 39, if you're all there, please say amen. Amen. Luke 6, verse 39, this is the Sermon on the Plain, which is the Beatitudes, which is the most important and crucial critical teachings of Jesus Christ to the world. And in the midst of these Beatitudes found in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, Luke says, "And he," Jesus, "spoke a" what, everyone? A parable unto them. Can the blind do what? Lead the blind. If they do, will they not both fall into the where? Into the ditch. We see that among the Beatitudes, among this pericope of Scripture, as Luke delineates it as a parable, he acknowledges it is as significant amongst all the teachings of Jesus Christ. So what we've discerned over the course of the past few weeks is that by presenting the only instance of this passage in Scripture aside from Matthew's account as a parable, Luke is telling us, for all of us who would listen throughout the course of the ages, that this is more than a slight, more than a rebuke, more than a reprimand. It is a teaching. What word did I use? A teaching of Jesus Christ that was meant to be conveyed and adhered to. If you saw that over the course of the last few weeks, and just now from Luke 6:39, please say amen. What we see in that teaching in Luke chapter 6, verse 39, is that Jesus is expressing to us that symbolic vision and awareness, symbolic self-reflection, are essential to effective leadership. Jesus is also sharing with us that symbolic blindness disqualifies its possessor from the ability to provide the most effective forms of guidance. You can still be a leader and be symbolically blind, but you will not be a good one, according to Jesus. Lastly, Jesus says that if you are blind as a leader, symbolically, that those who attempt to lead or guide others while possessing that poor figurative symbolic vision, that poor symbolic awareness, that poor self-reflection, they will adversely, what word did I use? They will adversely affect the lives of others. They will lead them down into the pit. Now, because most of us do not want to lead anyone astray, very often we flee from leadership. But we've been affirming here over the course of the past several weeks that each and every one of us is a leader. Can you say amen? We realize that each and every one of us have a sphere of influence, a circle of friends, people that we can guide in one way or another. Some of us are parents, some of us are pastors, some of us are teachers, some of us are police officers, governors, it does not matter. All of us are leading, and we can either be for Christ or against him. We are either sheep or goat, wheat or tares, there is no middle road. And we, even if we are not accountable to anyone else, a single person alone in this world, we are the CEO of our own company. And we can lead ourselves to success, or we can lead ourselves to destruction, but each and every one of us is a leader. If we affirm that here today, please say amen. Amen. So we understand that from these principles, that there's the direct teaching of Jesus Christ in the area of leadership, and trace elements of that teaching can be found all throughout the Bible, in subsequent narratives and in the letters of Jesus Christ's apostles. We saw a few weeks ago Jesus' story of healing a man that was born blind. And what we saw is that John contrasted that with the Pharisees who were proud, and John was teaching us the principle of humility. The next week we saw that Jesus taught priority to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, and he called them blind guides because they strained at gnats and camels and so forth. They had bad priority skills and prioritization. Therefore, Jesus said they struggled at leadership. Last week, Jesus taught us the principle of clarity through the blind man who needed to look again. And as that blind man was touched a second time by Jesus Christ, Jesus was teaching to his apostles, those who were on looking, the principle of clarity as essential and effective to healthy leadership. Now, throughout the course of these narratives, over the course of the past few weeks, we've discovered this principle in John 21:25, that Jesus did so many things while he was here on this earth. If every one of them were written down, John said not only the Bible, but the whole world could not have room for the books that were written. Therefore, John is expressing to us, when we wrote down these narratives about blind men being healed, these were not the only blind people that Jesus was healing. But we saved those narratives for a very specific reason, for a very specific purpose. Because when Jesus healed this blind person, he was trying to teach us something important through that. If we're grasping that from these narratives, please say amen. Amen. Therefore, today we come to our next narrative and our next leadership lesson and our next teaching of Jesus Christ, not Pastor Shane, on the importance of leadership. We go in our Bibles this morning now to Mark chapter 10. Mark, what chapter did I say, everyone? Mark chapter 10. And in Mark chapter 10, we're going over the familiar narrative of Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10. We're going now to Mark chapter 10 that was read so well by Naya. And in Mark chapter 10, we'll begin in verse 46. What verse did I say, everyone? Verse 46. Verse 46 of Mark chapter 10, this is the New King James Version. The Bible tells us, as Mark records this spectacular narrative of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ giving sight to a blind man, he says this. Verse 46. Now they came to Jericho as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude. A blind man named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say what? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48 says this, church, watch now. Then many warned him to do what? Be quiet. But he cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still. And Jesus commanded Bartimaeus to be called. So then they called to the blind man, saying to him, Be of good cheer. Rise. He is calling you. And throwing aside his garments, he rose. And he came to Jesus. Verse 51, as Naya read for us, So Jesus answered and said to him, What do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, Go. Go your way, for your what, everyone? Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight, and he did what? He followed Jesus on the road. Can you say amen today? Now, church, during the time of Jesus Christ, there was a great controversy taking place. And the controversy was this. The controversy was who Jesus Christ was. You see, as Jesus Christ went about working miracles and fulfilling prophecies, the very church, the very people who had those prophecies and were benefiting from those miracles, they did not recognize Jesus for who he was. Whenever Jesus would go somewhere and he would do many mighty miracles and many wonderful teachings, people would look at him like he was something strange and they would say, Where did this man get this wisdom and mighty deeds? They would look at him on the surface and say, Is he not the carpenter's son? Even the most accepting religious leaders doubted his divinity. And you Bible scholars out there will recall that in John chapter 3, Nicodemus had a secret clandestine meeting with Jesus, asking Jesus how he could be saved. You see, Nicodemus feared the judgment. He feared hell. He feared not going to heaven. But he did not still fully accept Jesus. In that meeting, he started it off by saying, Jesus, I know that you are a teacher. What word did I say? A teacher that is sent from God, because if God were not with you, you could not teach like you teach. Nicodemus was religious but not spiritual, in that he tried to intellectualize himself into the kingdom. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, look, man, we can cut all the pleasantries. I know why you're here. You're afraid of the judgment, and I'm going to tell you what you need to do to be saved. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And then Jesus goes on to describe to Nicodemus this new birth experience. That Nicodemus can intellectualize himself into the kingdom of God. Jesus says, truly, truly, seriously, Nicodemus, let me say this. Except a man be born of the water and of the what, everyone? The Spirit, he can't get in. Can't make it. Can't do it. It's not about me being a teacher. It's not about how much you know. It's about that which is being born of flesh and that which is born of spirit becoming spirit. And then Jesus says this to Nicodemus, one of the religious leaders of his day that did not recognize him as the Messiah. He said to Nicodemus, are you a teacher in Israel and you don't know this? Blind he was. Nicodemus did not understand spirituality or the ability to discern. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was trying to pull out the same experience from his disciples. Jesus taught the same message to his disciples that reluctantly followed and reluctantly believed in him. Jesus knew that there was a controversy taking place about who he was and what his identity in this world was to be. And in order to elicit a response of spiritual growth from his apostles, Jesus himself prompts the conversation. He asks Peter, he says, hey guys, let me ask you something. Who do men say that I am? So they respond, well, some of the professors at Andrews say John the Baptist. And some at Oakwood say you're Elijah. Who do you say that I am, Peter? And Peter says reluctantly, I believe you're the Christ, the Son of God, the one who's sent and come to save the world. And then Jesus responds to Peter saying, you're blessed, Simon Bar-Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man. You didn't learn this in a book somewhere. You didn't learn this from a professor, but by my who, everyone? My Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And in Aramaic, it means you're like a little rolling pebble. Reluctantly, you coughed up that confession as to who I am. But I tell you, on this rock, meaning myself, the rock of ages, amen? The rock and refuge of our strength, amen? I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Can you say amen today? Jesus was working with Peter and so was the Holy Spirit. And in order for Peter to confess that Jesus was the Christ, it was like pulling teeth. It was like prying out a confession. Unlike Bartimaeus, who knew and discerned what Jesus Christ was, and the Roman centurion who boldly proclaimed it. You remember him, right? That Roman centurion, an irreligious, pagan, but spiritual man who recognized Jesus' identity nonetheless. That Roman centurion had a servant who was suffering in his home from the palsy. And he asked Jesus, Jesus, will you heal my servant? Because at home he's suffering and in a terrible, terrible situation. Jesus said, I'm going to come and I'm going to do this for you. But the centurion said, no, Lord, you're not worthy. I'm not worthy to have you in my house. You should not even come. But I tell you something, Jesus, I know who you are. I know you're a man of authority. I know you're the Son of God. And Jesus, if you just say the word, he'll be healed. The Bible says this, Matthew 8, verse 10, that when Jesus heard this, he did what? He marveled. What does it take to make our Messiah marvel? But this pagan, unchurched, Roman centurion, he knew in his heart of hearts who Jesus Christ was. And Jesus is taken aback by this man's spirituality. And he turns to all those who were watching and looking. He says, truly, I have not found such a great faith with anyone in the church. It's important for us, friends, to understand what's taking place. In the story of the centurion and the story of Bartimaeus, there is a delineation between people who are religious and people who are spiritual. You follow me? Today, in church circles, when we interview the unchurched and we ask them what their belief system is, today, a lot of people are saying, I'm spiritual, but I'm not what? I'm not religious. Meaning they believe in God, they believe in the presence of God, they believe that God is working in the world, but they don't see God working in the church. And today that's offensive to our religious sensibilities, but in reality, it's probably a little bit more biblical than we think. You see, in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, Jesus describes a church that is religious but has not been spiritual. Jesus describes this church and he says, I have this problem with you, that you have left your first what? Your first love. Therefore, Jesus calls upon that church not to remember the Sabbath, but to remember where they have fallen. Come on, somebody. And repent and do the deeds you did at first when you loved me with all your heart. When I was most important in your life, or else I am coming to you and I will remove your lampstand. I will take the church out of its place. Did that happen to Israel? Can it happen to us? You see, friends, it may be offensive to our religious sensibilities, but again, it might be more biblical. I have heard many secular people say today that religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell. But spirituality is for people who have already been there. You see, in the Bible, that Roman centurion had been through hell watching his servant suffer with the palsy. In the Bible, Bartimaeus, as a blind man in a society that did not care for the handicapped, had been through hell. And when Bartimaeus saw Jesus, the Bible says that something within him welled up. Something in his heart happened that caused him to call out to Jesus Christ, not Jesus, good teacher, not Jesus, miracle healer, but Jesus, Son of David, which is the term for the Messiah, the categorization of those who would believe in the promised seed of Abraham, Jesus, Son of David, the one we've been waiting for, the one we've been looking for, the one we've been longing for, the desire of ages, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that all the religious folk around him, because they knew the controversy that was taking place, Bartimaeus, we don't know that yet, and that's just really controversial. And he's kind of short, and he's too young. He's only 30, and he's really dark. We don't know for sure. And the Bible says that Bartimaeus, despite all the voices that told him to be quiet, he gets louder. Get your hand off me.
I've been blind enough. I've hurt and suffered long enough. And I'm not worried or afraid about going to hell. I'm worried about not having life. So he calls out louder, Jesus, Son of David, which is the Messiah and the Savior of the world. Have mercy on me. The Bible says that Jesus, who was busy doing his Father's business, he stops. And the spirituality, the faith of that man, makes the eyes of God focus upon him. And then he says to all the religious folk around who are just watching the spectacle like a car wreck, on the fence in the controversy, he says, that man, call him to me. And then you notice in the text, all in the church folk, all the religious folk, and they're like, oh yeah, Bartimaeus, oh, he wants you to come now. Come on. And Bartimaeus goes to Jesus asking for sight. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you sight. But I want you to understand something. It's your faith. What word did I say?
Faith.
It's your spirituality and your faith that has made you whole. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And what Jesus was teaching us and what Jesus was teaching all of those who were watching was that this blind man who did not have physical sight, he saw more than all the church folk around him. More than the scribes, more than the Pharisees, more than Nicodemus, who said you're a good teacher, more than Peter, who Jesus had to pry that confession out. No. Bartimaeus, he yelled it out to the world, this is the only hope we have of salvation, this man right here. And because of that faith, that spirituality, Jesus says to the disciples, write this one down. Beloved, today as we come to our next lesson in the blind guide parabolic paradigm, today we discover the first love of leadership, and it is what, everyone? Spirituality. It is spirituality. And love of spirituality's principle is this. Good leaders recognize that insight is more important than eyesight. Can you say amen? Now today as we look at spirituality, some of you right now are thinking, this is my one, Pastor Shane. I'm excited about this. I'm a spiritual person. This is the one I've been waiting for. This means I'm a good leader. Nope. No, you're not. No, I'm not. In fact, when I went to the dictionary online and I looked up the definition of spirituality, I found that it was wrong. It was contrary to the Bible. The definition of spirituality has to do, or it says, pertaining to religious things or adhering to religious themes. But friends, when I go through the Bible, that is not what spirituality is. When I look through the Bible over and over again, spirituality is not about being religious. Not about being repetitious. Not about going through cycles and seasons, ceremonies and rituals, which you can religiously follow your favorite football team. Go Bears. You can religiously go to church on Saturday, but not know who Jesus is. So friends, I submit to you today this blind guide definition of spirituality, and it is this. Spirituality is the recognition of persons, places, or premises, that is, concepts or ideas, greater than oneself or that of current culture. It is the ability to discern the spirit of a thing, whether it be positive or whether it be negative. Can you say amen to that? You see, friends of mine, some of us think that we are spiritual just because we come to church, spiritual just because we are Seventh-day Adventists, spiritual just because we are Christians. And all those outside of our realm, they are lost, they are bad leaders, they are blind guides. Interestingly enough, Gandhi was asked late in his life why he never became a Christian. And Gandhi told the story of when he decided to become a Christian and explore that faith. Gandhi, true story, walked to the door of a church in South Africa. As a young law student wanting to become a Christian, he came to that church, and when he did, the Caucasian elders at the door stopped him, called him a racial slur, and told him he was not welcome there. So Gandhi walked away determining to never become a Christian. Later in his life, in that same interview, they asked him why you did not become a Christian and what do you think about Jesus. Gandhi says this, these are his words. He says, "I love your Christ, I do not like your Christians. Because your Christians are so unlike your Christ." The question I ask you today, friends, were those elders who greeted Gandhi at the door, were they spiritual or religious? Because if they were spiritual, they would have discerned that this man has infinite potential. This man is special. This man can be used for God's work and God's glory in a mighty, mighty way. Can you say amen? But they believed that just by being a part of that church or being called Christian, they would be in the kingdom. Unfortunately, Paul tells us all throughout the Bible that many of us who perceive ourselves to be guides with vision are going to be outside. Paul says this in Romans 2, verse 14. Paul says, when speaking between the Jews and the Gentiles, that when the Gentiles who do not have the law, meaning the words of Scripture, the prophecies that you have, the Decalogue and Ten Commandments, the teachings of Jesus, do by nature, meaning inherently in their heart, things that are contained in the law, these Gentiles who are outside the church are a law unto themselves. Paul goes on to say this, they show the work of the law written where, everyone? In their hearts. The Spirit is moving in their lives, even though they're not in the church. Their conscience bears witness, meaning we may try and guilt them into the church. We may try and fear them into the church, but they're saying, I'm all right. I'm good. I know I'm doing what God is calling me to do. And their thoughts, the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. Paul goes on to say this to Timothy, that there are those inside the church who will be ever learning, but never, how often? Never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Can't do it. You can't intellectualize yourself into heaven. You have to know Jesus. And to know Jesus, friends of mine, you can't just be religious. You have to be spiritual. See, religious people, they partake in rites and ceremonies and rituals, but they can't discern the substance or the essence of a thing, whether it's good or bad. They can't perceive it beyond its surface. Religion is not the same as spirituality. And Paul taught us the same. James, in James 1:27 goes on to say, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to do what, everyone? To look after orphans and who? Widows in their distress. And keep oneself from being what? Polluted by the world. There it is, Pastor Shane, polluted by the world. That means we can't eat certain things, you can't listen to certain things, can't watch certain things. And if you do that, you're saved. No. What it means is to love God with all your heart, and to love your fellow man is the same. Can you say amen? Love the widows and the orphans to take care of them, and love God and His law, His government, His kingdom more than this world. It means more than the world's policies, more than the world's prejudices, more than the world's ideologies which can pollute our minds. Can you say amen to that? You see, there's a man in our church who some of us know. Do you know that face up there? Have you seen him before? That's Pastor Jose Rojas, a famous Seventh-day Adventist evangelist, one of our greatest soul winners in this modern age. And Pastor Jose Rojas, when he comes to workers' meetings, he talks to us about his ministry and his life, about current culture and how there is a shift in thought among young adults of today. He talks about the racial divides in our church and how it's something of the past, and new young adults that are more spiritual and discerning, they're not like the church of yesteryear. Jose Rojas tells the story of his daughter telling him that she had found love. And he talks about how she said, "Daddy, I want you to meet this boy that I'm very much in love with." And as he tells this story, he says how my daughter describes him as tall, dark, and handsome. And one day, when tall, dark, and handsome showed up, Jose Rojas tells us this story. He says, "I walk to greet him in my office, and I look, and he's standing above me as high as Goliath." And he says, when she said dark and handsome, I thought he meant she was really tan. But he was dark, like dark, dark. Like one of us dark. For us who are dark. And Jose Rojas says, as that young man came to my office, he said he exhibited such a sweet spirit. Such a wonderful deportment. Such a generous, kind, and humble nature. And Jose Rojas says, as I've gotten to know that young man, he says, "I am going to be honored one day to call him my son." Amen. You see, that's not a religious man. That's a spiritual man. A man who understands that eyesight is not as important as insight. Can you say amen? Insight allows us to discern the essence, the spirit of a thing. And that insight is on display all throughout the Bible. In the lives of good leaders that God has called and chosen. Those of you who know your Bible recall that when Samuel the prophet was called by God to select a leader for the nation of Israel, he went to search among Jesse's sons, and as he saw them, he did not look at the tallest or the strongest or the most handsome, but he looked at a small, short shepherd boy. And when he selected that small, short shepherd boy, the others were in dismay. "Samuel, you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to pick leaders. I mean, look at him. He's short. He's ruddy. He smells like sheep." But Samuel told him this. He said, "The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the what type of appearance? The outward appearance, but God looks at what? Our heart." Insight is more important than eyesight. Can you say amen? Amen. And good leaders understand and realize that. You see, you don't have to be a Christian to be a leader, and some of us get confused. But you do have to be spiritual. You do have to be able to look beyond the surface of this world. You do have to be able to discern through the spirit of a thing and the essence of it, whether it's good or bad. Because if you can't, those who influence or are influenced by you, you're going to lead them astray. James taught the same thing in the early church, because in the early church, as it is today, there was still discrimination. And James says this. James says, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show what? Favoritism." And James says, "Suppose a man or a woman comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. And if you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and you say, 'Here's a good seat for you. Hey, come on in, buddy. How you doing?' But to the poor man, you say, 'Stand over there. We don't want to kind of see you. You're making the rug dirty. Please, could you just, please.'" James says, "Have you not discriminated among yourselves? And you've become judges with what kind of thoughts?" What kind of thoughts? James says you're evil. Not Pastor Shane. Not only are you a blind guide who are going to lead others astray, James says you're evil. And think for me for a moment to that church that allowed this man to walk through those doors the first time. Do you know that face? Yeah. Pastor Doug Batchelor. Do you know his story? How he went to live in a cave because he was fed up with the world and the wealth of his father and his family. And as he lived in that cave, he lived in a cave naked until one day he found a Bible. And as he read that Bible transformed his life and he decided to come back to church. And the first day he showed up in church, he showed up in nothing but overalls. He had no drawers. You follow me, folks? And I'm glad, I praise the Lord that those South African elders weren't at the door, amen? Come on in, Doug, with your smelly self. Come on, we've got a seat right here for you up in the front. And who would know that that man who looked like a vagabond was the richest man in the church and later would become one of the most famous evangelists of our day? You see, good leaders understand that insight is more important than eyesight. Can you say amen? Amen? What is the difference between good leaders and bad leaders? And a spiritual person and a not spiritual person. Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians 2:14. He says there is a natural man and a spiritual man. And Paul says the natural man does not receive the things that the Spirit of God are transmitting. The Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are transmitting messages all throughout nature, all throughout creation, all throughout Revelation, and someone that is solely natural, he cannot get it. They are foolishness to him, neither can he know him because they are what? They are spiritually discerned. When I gave you that definition earlier of spirituality, some of you say, well, wait a second, they're able to know the difference between right. Isn't that discernment? They are synonymous. And spirituality allows you to discern. What word did I say? Discern and know the essence of a thing, whether it be good or bad. And it's so important for us, this spirituality, especially in the last days, because in the last days, we are told from our Bible that religion will lead people astray. Isn't that right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, dear friends, do not believe everyone. Every spirit, but do what? Test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because so many false prophets have gone out into the world. So many churches that aren't teaching truth. So many churches and institutions that are distorting the image of Christ and God. And when these secular, unchurched people say, we're spiritual but not religious, friends of mine, they're right. They're right. And we, as a church, need to focus more on the Spirit being poured out than just being repetitious in what we do. Can you say amen? Amen. In the last days, Jesus said, even the elect are going to be deceived. Because Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, that Satan himself is going to look and appear like an angel of light. You don't have to be a Christian to be a leader. And some outside the church are going to be leaders because the church will not be able to discern. Jesus said there's going to be many. There are many of this fold that are not part of it yet, but I will bring them into one what? One fold, one flock. Amen? Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist. Because they're spiritual men who'll be able to discern when all the church is following after what they see. You follow me, folk? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, walk by what? And not by? Why not? Why not? Because our eyes fail us. Our sight, physical, can lead us astray. Our sight, physical, can lead us into a ditch. But spirituality, beloved, it can aid us in discerning truth from error. Can you say amen? The Bible tells us in regards to what Jesus looked like, that when you saw him, that he would grow up before as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground, that Jesus, Isaiah says, he has no form or comeliness, that when we would see him, there was a beauty we should desire him. Huh? Sorry, Jesus didn't look like Brad Pitt. Sorry. It wasn't just... You wouldn't look at Jesus, oh, he's hot. Ooh. How you doing, Jesus? It was his spirit, amen? It was who he was, amen? The love that poured out of him, the goodness that flowed from him, the truth, the justice, the fairness that he stood for. People said, there's something about this guy. Even though he's the carpenter's son, even though he's got scabs on his hands and he's kind of rough around the edges, he teaches us about God in the way that the Pharisees can't. And those who were spiritual, they followed. Those who discerned, like Bartimaeus, said, this is the Son of God. This is the one we've been waiting for. And all of our works, all of our religion, all of the doctors can't help me, can't heal me, can't save me, can't give me sight. My church can't do it. My friends can't do it. My family can't do it. But Jesus. 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 Son of David. Have mercy on me. Friends, I need the mercy of Jesus Christ in my life. Amen. And for me to be a good leader, not a blind guide, Jesus says this, the first love of leadership is our spirituality. Friends of mine, that Holy Spirit, according to one of my favorite writers, it encircles our whole planet like an atmosphere of grace. The Spirit is waiting and willing for any one of us to interact with Him at any opportune moment, to receive Him. And if we need wisdom, if we need discernment, if we need guidance, God will give it liberally if we just ask. We need to ask Jesus for spirituality today, because good leaders recognize that insight is more important than eyesight. Can you say amen? Today, beloved, if you want to be a good leader, today as our deacons and deaconesses pass out our visionary self-reflection cards at this time very quickly, as we take the next step in our journey of leadership today, realizing the importance of spirituality, not just being religious, not just coming to church, although that's important for us, but in the scope of God's priority, spirituality is paramount. The discerning of people and ideas and places, whether they be good or bad, the first love leadership is the Spirit of God living in our hearts. Today, as these visionary self-reflection cards are being passed out to you throughout the course of this next week, as part of your prayer life and your devotional life, I ask you to meditate on Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 52. And today we've discovered that the first love of leadership is what, everyone? It is? It's the first love of leadership is what, everyone? Spirituality. And good leaders recognize that what? Help me out. Insight is more important than eyesight. These are our three prayers throughout the course of this week. Three prayers throughout the course of this week. Number one is this. Lord, teach me to see with more than just my eyes. Can you say amen? All the people around Bartimaeus had eyes that worked, but none of them saw the Savior or the Son of God. That blind man named Bartimaeus, he saw it all. And because of that, because of his spirituality, even though they told him to be quiet, the Spirit welled up within him and he cried out even more, Jesus, I know who you are. Jesus rewarded him with physical sight for that. So we need to ask Jesus, Jesus, Lord, teach me to see with more than just my eyes. Can you say amen? Amen? Number two is this. Number two, this is our prayer throughout the course of the week, that we might not be blind guides and lead others into a ditch. Lord, help me to realize the depth of my own personal needs. Lord, help me to realize the depth of my own personal needs. When Bartimaeus saw Jesus, he realized that there was no other hope for him. Hallelujah. And so it is for us that in order for us to be spiritual, instead of discerning about others, first and foremost, we need to discern how much we need Jesus. That there is no other hope. There is no other name given among men by which we may be saved. Amen. Lord, help me to realize the depth of my own personal needs. As we reflect upon ourselves, we become more spiritual and better leaders. Number three, and our final one is this. Lord, help me to look at my world well beyond its surface as you are teaching me to lead. Can you say amen? Amen. When we see, friends, typically we see things at the surface, even with our spirituality, but we need to look well beyond. As they could not look beyond Gandhi, as they were able to look at the potential of Pastor Doug Batchelor, we need to see our world beyond the surface in order to be good leaders. Amen? And every one of us is a leader. Amen? In our church, in our home, in our school, wherever we're at, God is calling us to see the world well beyond its surface, and we need to do that with God's Spirit living in us. Amen?